dealing with your partner's problem personality. Doesn't that sound great? It is. It's one of the best books I have read on personality disorders, trying to explain to a lot of us really what they're all about, and getting into relationships with folks who have them. Or maybe, just maybe, we have a personality disorder, possibly, in some way. We can identify certain traits within us that aren't all so wonderful and kind of wonder within ourselves why we go through so many relationships. So if you're a regular listener, by the way, you've probably heard me refer to the idea of how I like to help couples detox the drama from their lives. Now, sometimes they see that couples' constant fighting and suffering with each other, it's kind of like an addiction. It's a destructive habit, but they just can't stop the drama. I do. I equate it to addiction. Yep. Sometimes I see that couples' constant fighting and suffering with each other continues to fuel, and it's like a snowball. It grows bigger and bigger and bigger. See, couples come in and see me and say, Dr. Michelle, how can we work out these problems? Now, many times it's because I see that one or both partners have traits which indicate that they may have a personality disorder. So we're going to be, you know, looking at listening to this great book author, Dr. Kelly Murray, today. She's going to tell us more about it. Okay. So we're going to find out how to understand that your partner may have a personality disorder, why you feel or have felt miserable with certain partners, why things are going or went downhill after you settled into a relationship, and that your partner actually may have some of these personality traits that aren't as acceptable in society, possibly. And also we're going to find out when you might want to call it quits. Looking at yourself, why did I get with this person that was so unhealthy? That's also in the book, which I really like, because it helps us examine ourselves and why we choose to be with other people who are supposed to be filling up the needs that we have to get, or filling up something that we don't have within ourselves. So maybe when Dr. Murray and I start talking about some of these personality traits, you might identify with them. You might think to yourself, how can I change these personality traits within myself? Yeah, how can I change them? Then you see the problem with many of these personality disorders is that folks who have them, or possibly you, won't take responsibility to change. So this is what we're talking today about. See, the problem is, and I think the reason we're going to talk to Dr. Murray coming up in just a bit, but she's going to tell us why she called the book Crazy Love. But just think to yourself while I'm talking. Have you had some of those really bizarre relationships? And you're out of them, and you're saying, how did I ever get with that person? That was crazy! That's why she calls it Crazy Love. Because there are certain identifiable personality disorders that we're going to talk about. You may, like I said, be able to say, oh my goodness, you know what? I went with that person. The paranoid. The schizoid. The antisocial personality. That's scary. The borderline. The narcissistic. Oh, I can't tell you how many female clients I have who have come in years and say, it was always about him. It was always about his needs being met. He was always the one who had to be in the spotlight. He always had everything his way. He was a control freak. Why did I choose this person? So then we go into looking at why they did. There's another undermining partner in this cluster B, the passive aggressive. Now, we've all been a little passive aggressive sometimes with our anger, but this is pervasive stuff. Ah, how about the avoidant personality, the scared partner who pulls back? Or the dependent, the obsessive compulsive personality. Yeah, I'm not talking about the odd couple, Felix and, yeah. I'm talking about that controlling person that has to have everything go their perfect way. Obsessive. A lot of obsessive, compulsive folks come into my office. A lot of them men. The glum partner, that's the depressive personality. We want to take care of somebody a lot. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of depressed all the time and down, and we need to build them up and make them happy and take care of them. But what within us makes us need to do that? And we're going to talk about this. Again, Dr. Michelle with you on the couch. Good Friday morning. It's going to be 80 degrees generally here in the Southland, I want to say. So all of those of you out there who are listening and in cold climates, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I was listening to another talk show host this morning on the internet. He's in a foot of snow. And I'm sorry, but we're having a great time here. It's a beautiful day. And if you would like to reach me, you can sure do so. My email address is docmichelle@AOL.com. That's D-O-C, Michelle with two L's, at AOL.com. And also I want to give you my website address, drmichelletherapy.com. And you just abbreviate the doctor, D-R, Michelle with two L's, therapy. T-H-E-R-A-P-Y. It'll correct it for you if you're typing too fast and you switch the little letters around there. DrMichelleTherapy.com. Give me a shout. I'd love to talk with you. If you have any questions or comments about the show, of course, you can log on to bbstalkradio.com and check out the archives of my shows. But back to the title and the author today and the subject we're talking about, Crazy Love, Dealing with Your Partner's Problem Personality. This is one of the most fascinating subjects to me as a psychologist, because these are very difficult disorders to treat. I mean, when you have what's called an Axis 1 disorder, depression, major depressive disorder, let's say, a major anxiety disorder, a mood disorder, schizophrenic, thought disorder, those can be managed with medication many times and are. Bipolar? Yeah, medication is the key there. And, of course, behavior modification. Cognitive behavioral therapy is mostly efficacious and helps out a lot of people. But when you're dealing with the personality disorders, it's very difficult because one of the common traits is a lot of the people who have them don't realize they do, are clueless, don't take responsibility, and probably are a little adverse to change. Unless their partners in some way say, this is it, you're done. Or their family. This is how they usually get help. The family just says, I'm done. I'm not doing it. I'm done. You know, they're not going for it anymore. So there's pressure put on the individual to take responsibility for that. So let's see if we have someone on our line. And I think, let's see here. We're going to pull up this number. Not yet. Our caller's just about ready to call in. And by the way, if you'd like to call in on the line as well and talk, you can do so. One of the numbers, 818-602-4498. All right. Let's see if we can pull up our guest speaker here today on our show. And good morning. This is Dr. Michelle on the air. Hi. Let's see if we can get our caller. Let's try it again. Good morning to you.
Once Good morning.
More.
How are you?
There you are. Hello, Dr. Murray. It's so nice to have you with me.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. And it's a great, great to speak with you. I love your book.
Thank you.
It's really good. And it's very interesting reading, too. It's mainstream, but it's also very clinical and very easy to understand. Therapeutic as well, which I really like.
Right. That was our goal, was really to, you know, write a book that was easy to read, that people would understand, and that would really sort of hit home for people about the relationships that they're in.
Right. I think it does the job. By the way, folks, Dr. Kelly Murray is an assistant professor and director of PhD clinical education at Loyola College in Baltimore. And she's also a clinical psychologist who's in private practice in Bethesda, Maryland. And, of course, she is the co-author of the book we're talking about today. I'd like to also mention that Dr. W. Brad Johnson is the co-author as well of Crazy Love. It's Dealing with Your Partner's Problem Personality. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And what is your book basically about? I've been kind of warming the folks up for this, but you can explain it much better than I can.
Well, I think that probably most people can relate to the idea that they've been in relationships or are currently in a relationship that's not really working. And, you know, they probably have asked themselves the question, am I involved with a person who has some features that aren't healthy, or is it me?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
You start feeling... So, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I would say, so we decided that, you know, we would title it Crazy Love because there are so many relationships that end up feeling that way. And how easy it is to pick partners for yourself that just don't work.
Yep. And I think that's really perfect because a lot of clients, and I'm sure you have the same experience, come in and say, I feel like I'm going crazy. What am I doing wrong? But because it's so difficult to deal with many of the folks who have personality disorders, they can't. The other partner who's sort of somewhat normal is saying, well, it's very difficult, and they feel confused like they're the cause of it. So
right, and often these partners are very good at subtly turning facts around, turning feelings around,
yes,
so that the healthier partner does end up feeling that it's them, that they're going crazy. And, you know, they sort of need that reality check sometimes that maybe it's their partner,
right,
and not them. But the flip side is also, what is it about them that they continue to pick that kind of partner?
Right. So, and what we do see many times is that an individual does kind of keep going back to this kind of person. And we can talk about that in just a little bit, but they do. They keep kind of repeating, and you hope that they learn. No, that didn't feel right. But they
right.
don't.
It's true. And it's interesting how, you know, I feel like either one of two things happen. You continue to pick somebody that's very similar over and over again,
mm-hmm,
or you pick somebody where the relationship went really bad, and so you pick the extreme opposite,
yes,
where that can be just unhealthy for you as well because you've picked somebody who's got unhealthy traits that are on the other end of the spectrum.
Right. That's right. And it can have an adverse effect because you're so turned off to the way the other person was. Exactly. You might go completely
right.
the other direction. Let's touch on right. some of the different personality disorders. Can you briefly tell listeners a little bit about them?
Sure. And one of the things that might be helpful,
yeah,
too, to talk about is that what at some point makes a personality disordered
Let's
or unhealthy.
Go for it. Let's
because we all have personality
yeah.
traits and quirks that are a little bit out there.
Mm-hmm. Sure we
so
do.
At what point does that become unhealthy or does it become a liability? It's not working for you anymore.
Right.
And that's the people that we're talking about, you know, is that you're looking at people who have a host or quite a few traits that are maladaptive,
right,
that aren't working, they're not learning from them, and at the same time, they don't recognize that they have a problem, but everybody else in the world knows they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's the thing. I think one of the most common features is that they don't have a clue.
They don't have a clue.
How odd their behavior is.
They project it outward onto everybody else.
Right. And how they're affecting others. Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Right. Right.
So
in our book, we actually cover 12 different personality mm-hmm. disorders,
mm-hmm.
and we have them broken up into three clusters.
Mm-hmm.
The first cluster being sort of the odd and eccentric,
mm-hmm.
which constitute the paranoid, the schizoid, and the schizotypal personality disorders or
mm-hmm.
types.
Mm-hmm.
The second cluster that we have broken up are more of the dramatic, impulsive, dangerous, erratic folks.
Mm-hmm.
And we have those broken up into the antisocial personality, borderline personality, which you hear a lot of those two,
right.
about those two.
Mm-hmm.
The histrionic personality, the classic narcissist, and somebody who's passive aggressive, which is also something that you're hearing a lot more about in the media now.
Yep.
And the third cluster, which we consider to be anxious or withdrawn,
mm-hmm.
the avoidant, the dependent, the obsessive-compulsive personality, and the depressive personality.
Mm-hmm. And I suggest the people out there listening get this book. It really helps you identify a lot within yourself as well, because
right.
Since we're talking about the different personality disorders, maybe you can see some of those traits that you might have and try to... The great thing about this book is it helps you kind of question yourself a little bit and say, wait a minute. And, of course, it'll help straighten things out for you if you think you're going crazy because someone else is exhibiting some of these behaviors that we'll talk about as well. So are there any particular personality disorders that are worse than others? I mean, we were, of course, mentioning the antisocial and the borderline. We know how damaging being with someone like that
can be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that in their worst form, they can all be very destructive to relationships. Mm-hmm. But some of them are worse because they tend to be a little bit more dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The paranoid personality person tends to be quite dangerous.
Yes.
This is somebody who's very suspicious and untrusting and feels like everybody in their life is out to get them.
Right. Right.
So, you know, they're very suspicious that people that they're with are having affairs.
Right.
These are people who follow their partners, who are spying on their partners. And when a person tries to end that relationship, they can often be very violent,
right.
Very aggressive. And you also see this happening at work as well.
Yes.
So when you see school shootings, you know, we see that at colleges, mm-hmm. we see that at high schools, or we hear about somebody who's killed their partner and their children, mm-hmm. those are typically, we think about being paranoid people.
Right.
The antisocial we've talked about can be very violent and aggressive, but also superficially charming.
Yes.
They tend to fly below the radar a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The borderline, who are very emotionally unstable or volatile, so they're all over the place, tend to have some chronic suicidality or self-injurious, hurting themselves sorts of behavior.
Yes.
And then I think the narcissist can also be somebody who can be quite dangerous and hurtful. But in their worst forms, all of them can be quite healthy in relationships with other people.
Yes. So there is hope for the dramatic, erratic, and dangerous partners.
Yes.
Types of therapies. Well, I don't know. Sometimes the antisocial, sometimes this is terrible of me to say, but the best therapy is jail. And that's the case in many instances.
And that's very frequently what happens, is eventually, you know, especially the ones who are violating the law, not just violating the rights of their partner,
right.
End up in jail or in the legal system.
Right. Right, which is really sad because,
again,
they don't choose to get the help that they really need.
Right, and that's the thing about personality mm-hmm. disorders, mm-hmm. that it can be very difficult because they've been going on for so long, particularly an antisocial personality disorder person. You can look back over their life and see this behavior
right.
pretty much since they were kids.
Right.
So it's long-standing, it's chronic, it's difficult to change. But the hopeful side about that is that while we may not be able to change our basic personality, mm-hmm. the ultimate goal would be to move toward balance, to be mindful
right.
of our behavior, to be mindful of our partner's behavior on a daily basis.
Exactly.
So that we're living more moderately or more balanced.
Exactly. And again, folks, we're talking to co-author Kelly Murray, Dr. Kelly Murray, of the book Crazy Love, Dealing with Your Partner's Problem Personality. And it really is a very helpful book to help anyone who has been in a crazy relationship or who has had continued problems themselves and keeps repeating. I do have a lot of clients who come in and say, "Ah, just my luck. I've got another loser. I've got somebody else who's controlling. Just my luck. I meet all the bad guys." Well, maybe there's something about that person who's creating and continually fulfilling a need, trying to fulfill a need that they have, that it's something empty within them, and they have to continue this behavior and have to take a look at that. So one of my favorite parts of your book is where, you know, after you describe each personality disorder, you provide psychological information about why people might be attracted to each individual type, which I was just saying. And
right.
Like, why would someone be attracted to, say, somebody with a borderline or an antisocial personality disorder?
Well, you know, I think that there are probably a bunch of reasons why mm-hmm. we're attracted to people that aren't healthy for us.
Yeah.
One of the things that probably most listeners can relate to is that when you really fall for somebody, you tend to focus on the one or two traits
right.
that are really appealing to you, and you tend to overlook some of the big red flags
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
are there.
Yep. And some of the big go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No. Hey, this is great. I love this.
So, you know, I think that one of the reasons why we decided to write this book was really to give people a forum to know what different kind of personality disorders look like,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and also to be, you know, to be very mindful when you're dating somebody to look at all the traits that
right.
somebody has. And there is some truth also to this idea that the thing that initially attracts us to somebody, the trait that we really are enamored with, ultimately can become very problematic for us in the end.
Yep. Yep. And that's something that we don't see coming on. I mean, and again, you get into this relationship, it seems exciting, and this person seems charming and different and or odd or eccentric. You know, their little quirks
right.
and little things they
right.
do and the fun little interests they have, like you said, turn out to be the real problem in the relationship. I
right.
love, I'm, yeah.
I was going to say just a few other reasons why I think that people are attracted to problem personalities. Mm-hmm. An antisocial, for example, is frequently very engaging, very charming, and very smooth at the beginning. Mm-hmm. So they often are attracted to people who have traits that we are lacking within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you tend to be quieter and shyer, maybe a little bit more needy, you might really be attracted to somebody who comes on strong, who woos you, and who's going to go out of their way to but it's be smooth and charming.
Right. Yeah, and that really makes a lot of sense. And I have seen that a lot in my office. I see almost the complete opposites. And that's not good. Opposites may attract, but in the long run, that doesn't work out too well.
Right, right.
I really enjoy, you know, in the very beginning, right off the bat in your book, you say, does your partner have a personality disorder? And you start listing things. You say, now, ask yourself these questions, thinking about specific partners. And you ask, did things start off wonderfully but then come to a screeching halt for some reason? That's the surprise aspect. Does your partner appear to be completely unaware of his impact on others and the effects of his behavior? And that's one of the most common, I think. Is your partner okay with behaviors you find quite inappropriate, perhaps even disturbing? And when you make efforts to correct the problem, does your partner fail to respond or follow through, you know, suggesting little motivation to change? That's another big one. These are all heads
up. That's
a
big one.
Mm-hmm. Is your partner frequently in intense conflict with you, other people, or even institutions and employers? It's kind of like this constant cycling of social situations and relationships and employer problems that we see.
Yeah. Yeah, you see broad impairments or broad problems with everybody in their life.
Exactly. And does your partner create a positive first impression on people, only to later display problems with anger, poor social interaction, or manipulation? And that's another real biggie that I have seen in many of the personality disorders, as you mentioned, the manipulation factor, especially with the dramatic, erratic, and dangerous in the cluster Bs.
Right, and often it just, you know, they're so subtle, some of these personality traits are so subtle that, you know, it really takes time to pick up on what's going on. And by then, you've invested some significant time in the relationship.
Yes, yes, exactly.
So even professionally in our practices, as you probably relate to, when I sit with clients, sometimes it takes me a couple months to realize that the problems that I'm seeing are due to having some personality traits that aren't working for them.
Right. I agree. The same thing.
Yeah.
I years ago, in a clinical situation, I recall some people who actually... one woman was with a gentleman diagnosed with narcissistic personality disorder for 10 years. 10 years she hung in there.
Wow.
To try to, what's wrong with me, to try to please and fix him. And that's exactly what you're talking about.
Right. I think everybody sort of takes a different amount of time to sort of hit their wall or to wake up one morning and say, how did I get here?
Exactly.
What's going on? Who am I now? And for some people, it's a couple months. Some people, it's years before they realize that they're in a relationship that they're not happy in and that isn't likely to get better.
Mm-hmm. And that's really a good first step when you start saying, whoa, wait a minute. I'm feeling terrible. I'm feeling sad.
Right.
I'm feeling responsible.
Right.
And that's one of the things you mentioned here, too. You asked, does your partner have such profound needs for your attention or adulation that you feel exhausted managing the relationship?
Right.
That's a big
and where you spend much more time meeting your partner's needs than you getting your needs met.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
Also, is your partner so rigid and regimented that changes to the routine provide anxiety or, like you said, danger?
Right. There's very little flexibility in these people. So when anything out of the norm happens or when they don't have control over a situation, it can really trigger them.
Right. And also you say, did you notice something weird about this person and decide to proceed with the relationship anyway? That's called kind of tuning into your intuition, tuning into...
Ignoring that. And
exactly.
I sort of call it, you know, sort of having relationship myopia, where you will just focus on a few of the things that feel good while you ignore some of those things that you know probably aren't in your best interest.
Now, here's a question. I was always wondering, why would someone be attracted to an individual who had, say, obsessive compulsive personality disorder. That's, you know, that's a very controlling individual as well, right?
Right, very controlling, very rigid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these are typically people who aren't that much fun to be around.
Right.
They work a lot. They don't take a lot of vacations, mm-hmm. typically. And there's a few reasons. One is that these people typically put a big emphasis on sort of more of a traditional relationship. And because they tend to be very controlling, some people like the idea of having other people call the shots.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, when you're picking a mate that appears outwardly very diligent and responsible,
right.
who has a strong work ethic and sort of meets that all-American way of life,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but at the same time, you ultimately realize that they're not enjoying life at all. They're
right.
not having fun.
Right.
They don't want to just hang out mm-hmm. and relax,
right.
or they're not flexible. They just sort of can't roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you continue to pick somebody like this, it does maybe make you question
mm-hmm.
Why you're feeling the need to have somebody who is so in control,
right.
calling the shots. Do you feel like you might not, there's something about you or your self-esteem that person is fulfilling a need in yourself that you are not?
Right, right. And again, opposites attract sometimes.
So, right.
And also the paranoid personality person, the one who has you followed or always questions or, you know, takes everything as a slight and is very defensive, you know, on the defensive and that kind of. What,
right.
I think it's important for people to look at what is it within me. And I'm thinking of years ago at a clinic as well, another client who had her husband follow her everywhere. I mean, my goodness,
right.
she couldn't go to work. She couldn't. Go to lunch with her girlfriends on the weekend or go to coffee with a friend or take a walk,
right.
you know,
right.
without having her husband drive and follow. Oh, that was just scary stuff. But something about
it's
her,
really scary.
We found she needed to be, to feel like she was needed. She needed to fill up
right.
whatever within her was empty, that somebody is, boy, see, he cares about me. He's keeping an eye on me. He's following me around.
Right. He loves me a lot.
Yeah, exactly. Not.
Right. And, you know, the paranoid in particular is kind of a tricky one because
yeah.
they are often sort of very solemn and quiet and mysterious, and that can be appealing to people
mm-hmm.
right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
And because they're overly involved in your life, you do interpret it as feeling that the person really loves and cares about you a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But it quickly turns around so that, you know, this is the classic walking on eggshells person where you
right.
work very hard to sort of maintain some peace and calm, which ultimately tends to backfire. But often with these folks, too, with the healthier partner,
right.
they feel a need to rescue or
yes.
to fix their partner, or they feel like they're going to be sort of the savior
mm-hmm.
for their partner.
Mm-hmm.
And very often that doesn't work.
Right, exactly. And I also tell many clients to take a look at themselves, this rescuing thing, particularly the ones who stayed with an individual for so long who was doing this to them. And I don't want to go psychodynamic on them, but what within you, who in your life, did mom or dad make you feel like you had to be responsible for their feelings all the time?
Right.
Were you the one who
right.
was always having to walk on eggshells? And is it just so comfortable that that's how you naturally have to be in order to have a bond with someone?
Right, exactly.
So.
You know, I sort of feel like in mental health, classically, you know, it's always been mom and dad who are to blame for everything.
Right.
And while we don't want, you know, to advocate anybody of their responsibility
exactly.
as an adult, it
exactly.
is helpful sometimes to look at your childhood, to look at what was my role in the house,
right.
what were my parents like, did I pick somebody that reminds me of somebody in my house that I was taking care of or that I felt responsible for or that I have lately just sort of become comfortable with over the years
yes.
as that being a healthy relationship when in fact it might not have been.
Right. It was possibly in some cases a matter of survival for
right.
the child to grow into the young adult to cope. You know, that's
right.
how they coped, is they just kind of went along with it and played that particular role with whoever was in their earlier environment, the caretakers
right.
or the siblings.
Right. And, you know, whoever was a significant presence in their life. I mean,
exactly.
the reality is our role models for relationships typically come from our caretakers.
Right.
That's what we learn. That's what we sort of have assimilated into, you know, being the most comfortable way of being.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily the healthiest, but it's what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to undo that. It takes some time as adults to realize that we can make very different conscious decisions right. than maybe our parents did.
I agree. I really think so. And this is the age of psychological enlightenment, we hope. Everything,
right.
especially with the media, everything is out there about these poor, some of these, I just say poor, like Britney Spears, she has a lot of problems. And people who
right.
are out there in the media who aren't so poor and need to take more responsibility for their abusive substance abuse and things like that. But still, we're becoming right. more aware through media, through the internet, people who really are having problems and putting it out there as to clinically why they do suffer from these things. Folks, again,
right.
we're talking with Dr. Kelly Murray, author of Crazy Love. It's a great book. It's dealing with your partner's problem personality. It's really helpful to just kind of figure out why you could be attracted to someone with a certain personality disorder, or possibly you may have a slight personality traits that are buying into this yourself, and you need to take a look at yourself. I also like the fact that in your book, Dr. Murray, after describing each personality disorder, and, you know, she describes actual couple situations, folks, which are great. I mean, they're real situations. You know, and kind of explains how the relationships went, and you provide psychological information about when somebody should probably get out of a relationship with their partner who has a disorder. So,
right.
and you know, we were just talking about the antisocial and the borderline, paranoid as well, who might be dangerous and have a long history of those superficial and brief relationships. But how would you suggest to someone, let's say, who's like passive aggressive or the cluster B category, how would you suggest someone when it is time to leave the relationship? I mean, I love this chapter you have on. When is it time to call it quits?
Right. Oh, that's such a difficult question when you're in love with somebody, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And I think a lot of it depends on where you are in the timeline of your relationship.
Mm-hmm.
If it is a new relationship and you're coming to get to know somebody and you notice those red flags off the bat, you notice that you're putting in much more time into the relationship than your partner. Or if you notice that you're not getting many of your needs met mm-hmm. in the relationship mm-hmm. or that you're continuing to pick people where you aren't happy, where you're not getting your needs met, where it doesn't seem healthy,
mm-hmm.
one of the reasons we decided to write this book was to ask you to be mindful of whether you want to continue with the new relationship off the bat.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, we tend to, in our society, and I've been guilty of this on a few occasions, follow my heart instead of my head.
Yes.
And
yes.
while we don't want to say ignore your heart, how do you find the balance between the way that you feel, but also what you know to be true about this person and this relationship,
mm-hmm.
and to make a very conscious, mindful decision to make different choices for yourself than maybe some of your past relationships that haven't worked.
Yes.
So that may be a beginning stage where you might say, you know, I'm not sure this is healthy for me, or, you know, I'm repeating a pattern.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a little bit more tricky when you've been in a relationship with somebody for a while.
Right, right.
And, you know, again, though, asking yourself some of those same questions become important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am worth a lot. I give a lot to this relationship. I deserve to have my needs met as well.
Right.
Am I getting those met?
Right.
Because the reality is that when you're in a relationship with somebody who has significant personality disorder,
yes. Yes.
you are usually not getting your needs met.
Right.
You are usually not getting the same out of the relationship as you're putting in.
Mm-hmm.
Or you find that you're just constantly in turmoil. You're not happy.
Right.
And, you know, you deserve to be.
Right.
So those are questions to really ask yourself, is this the right choice for me?
Right.
Do I have other choices? Where should I go from here?
Exactly.
Now, some of the more dangerous personalities, you need to be a little bit more mindful of how you choose to end those
right.
relationships.
Exactly.
You know, to make sure that you have resources around you, that you have your friends around you, that you have people to call,
mm-hmm.
that you're taking good care of yourself, because when relationships end, it usually always feels bad.
Sure.
But that you're taking good care of yourself, you're looking at what your needs are,
mm-hmm.
and that you're making some very conscious choices that this might not be the right relationship for you.
Right, right. And that's such good advice. Another clue is I think for folks to, when they've been having problems with another partner and they just, again, they feel that they're responsible and they're unhappy and their needs aren't being met, I say, you know, ask them, let's go to couple therapy. And if the other person continues to say, well, I don't have a problem, it's not me, it's you, that's a big clue right there. You know, you have to take a look at that.
To also realize that, you know, have you exhausted your resources to try to get this relationship changed or try to help your partner get involved in the change in your relationship?
Is there a most common personality disorder that you see in your practice or in a clinical setting? Is there a more common disorder, or do you see, is it distributed pretty evenly throughout the spectrum?
I think that there are some personality disorders that don't present to therapy very often. The paranoid, for example, the more of the odd, eccentric, the schizo, the schizotypal, those people aren't presenting as much. And very rarely do people come into therapy for their personality problems. They usually come in because their relationship isn't working or they're having problems at work. And, you know, after talking together, you know, we come up with the conclusion that there are some personality issues that are going on. There are some personality types that tend to be more unhappy. And those are typically the borderline, the avoidant, the dependent personality, the obsessive compulsive personality. They tend to be more unhappy and to feel sadder, to have a little bit more depression or anxiety because they're very aware that their relationships aren't working very well. They have a little bit more insight into the fact that there might be something going on with them that's contributing.
But not fully ready to take responsibilities for those actions that, you know, they have and their behaviors.
Or to have the really the sort of the level or depth of insight into their part in it.
What I also find is that there many of the, say, the Axis 1 disorders, they do, really do go along with the Axis 2. The personality disorders, usually you're going to see depression in the borderline personality. You're going to see anxiety in other particular, also in the borderline personality. You're going to see, you know, these
substance abuse.
That's a big one. That's a real
big one. Yeah, very rarely do people have significant personality disorders and not have another Axis 1 or another sort of mental health issue, depression, anxiety, substance dependence, etc.
And the good news is, there's good news to this. The good news is that
there is
with the depression, with the anxiety, with bipolar, we can treat these particular disorders with medication sometimes. I mean, they do seem to help on certain levels. So in some way, they might be able to help the person's personality disorder that goes along with that. It might be able to modify some of the you know, extreme mood swings and some of the extreme behaviors. But
that's true. And also, I think that when people go into therapy or they seek help from a counselor and they start to work on some of these personality issues that aren't working, they will find that some of their depression and anxiety and some of the other substance abuse or bipolar issues that they're having will tend to diminish or sometimes even go away.
Which is, that, you know, that's exactly right. And that's great. But I also like the way you suggest that people, you talk about many, each chapter devoted to each personality disorder has a scenario of a couple and what they've gone through and how one or the other partners dealt with it and when they finally decided to call it quits or how they decided to help the other person. What I really like about your book, too, is that you offer help to those. In other words, how can you live with this person? Here's the things you might do to live with this person. Here's some of the, and you are awesome because you actually even offer help to the person living with an antisocial. I love it. You say, you know, you can work with this personality disorder, although they may be stealing from people and lying and, you know, having substance abuse issues and cheating on you.
And you sometimes it's really complicated to leave a relationship. A lot of the reasons why people choose to stay, you know, they really love the person. They have children together. They've been together for very many years. So what can we do, or the book really does address, how do we help you if you choose to stay, be very realistic and make some adjustments in your relationship so that you might find yourself happier?
That's great advice. What I've seen sometimes is, trying to help an individual who does have kids, and they're married. I've seen, couples with kids. And the problem is the person who is healthier, trying to deal with an individual with a personality disorder, is trying to get help to work through with this person. And because I believe in family, and I believe in keeping the relationship together as long as you work at it. But it's very difficult for some of my clients to try and hide their disdain and hide their suffering from the children, and trying to be another therapist for their partner who has these issues. Right. So it's really difficult.
And I think the best thing that person could do is really to seek therapy on their own if their partner isn't willing to. Right. Because at the end of the day, if the healthier partner continues to work on themselves, continues to get healthier, they are only going to be a healthier individual, a healthier parent, a healthier friend, sibling, etc. And if they change the way that they are, or the way that they interact with their unhealthy partner, by default, their partner has to change, and their relationship will change.
I agree. I think so. Yeah. It's a slow process. But
it's baby steps.
It is baby steps, exactly.
Yeah.
I find a lot of people really want to hang in there and take those baby steps, because they have children, or like you said too, they're in love with that person and they want to hang on. They want to hang on to that relationship and go back to all those things that were good.
Right, and even though we make a very strong case for personality disorders being very broad, very long-standing, very entrenched, I do want to put out there that there is hope. There is, if somebody wants to change, which is the key, you can help them learn to be much more conscious of who they are, how they act, how they behave toward others. And so there is hope that the personality disordered person will move more toward having some balance than unhealth.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. Yeah. What are some of the less, are there less severe personality disorders that may be easier to cope with, do you think?
That's a hard one. I think that on a daily basis, probably living with somebody who is dependent, somebody who's a little bit more avoidant, might be a little bit easier to deal with on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. But, those are people who still will frequently suck their partners dry.
Right.
So, what has your experience been in clinical practice with that?
I feel it's the same thing. When I see that the other partner who, and I don't mean to generalize, but in the majority of cases, maybe it's because I see a lot of women, but in the majority of cases, it's usually the woman who has that disorder. They are very dependent, and it doesn't really necessarily have anything to do on not being the breadwinner. It's an emotional neediness and a dependence on the other person. And it's exactly what I feel, too, Dr. Murray, is that they are in some way needing someone to control their lives and take over. And whatever their role was in their early environment, we try to go into that and talk about it and how they're mirroring that or need to hang on to that. But try to get them, assertiveness training is a real good one, and try to get them up and out of their situation to where they can and be responsible for their own feelings and thoughts. It's like they feel like they don't have feelings or thoughts, or they don't have things to say that really count or are acknowledged or, so it's that kind of training. And I think it is, if their partners can understand that, and also their partners can understand why they chose, they might be more controlling people. They usually are, because they want to control
them. Usually are. And so they're less dangerous on a day-to-day basis, so I think they would be easier to live with. Very similar to the avoidant person.
Yes.
They need much more praise and reassurance that their partner loves them and isn't going to leave them. But at the same time, they're not typically as dangerous or as volatile as some of the other disorders.
Right. I agree with you, and we share that belief. What do you think listeners can learn from your book? And again, folks, the book's called Crazy Love, Dealing with Your Partner's Problem Personality, and it's Dr. Kelly Murray we're on the phone with. So what can listeners... I'm a psychologist, and I learned. I haven't, I have clients, but I really learned a lot reviewing a lot of this material, and I love the scenarios that you presented.
Thank you. Well, I'm hoping that the book will really serve as a reality check for people, which is for them to, one, become more familiar with what personality disorders look like. Mm-hmm. And to also, as you said, it offers a good opportunity for people to be able to look at themselves.
Right.
How do I fit into this picture? What is it about me? Am I a rescuer? What am I overlooking? How do I pick a healthier person for me? Or how do I help my partner and myself have a healthier relationship? So it really is sort of a primer or a guide to be able to help you navigate your relationships in a healthier way.
It certainly is. It's a great book, Dr. Murray, and thank you so much
thank
for coming
you.
On the show today. Can we tell listeners how to get in touch with you if they need to and how they can find your book?
Sure. Well, they can always get a hold of me at Kelly Murray at drkellymurray.com.
And is that spelled out doctor or D-R?
D-R.
Okay.
Kelly Murray at drkellymurray.com. Mm-hmm.
Great.
You can usually also locate me through the Loyola of Maryland website as well. And they can get my book at any of the big bookstores typically or online at Borders or Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or through the publisher, which is Impact Publishers.
Yeah, they're a great publishing company. They have
they're a great books. Publishing house, and
yeah.
They have a lot of great, helpful books out there.
They sure do. Dr. Murray, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's a pleasure
thank
to have you.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
And folks, of course, can go online, and if you want to get more information about the book, you want to contact Dr. Murray, we just gave you all of the information as well. And, of course, you can contact me, folks, if you'd like. You go ahead and log on to my website. Come on, lips, don't fail me now. It's drmichelletherapy.com. Like Dr. Murray, it's Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. And on the couch with Dr. Michelle, that's me, your friendly psychologist, is just about ready to roll on down the road. So I'm getting off the couch now. Hope you had a great day. And enjoy yourself. Have a fabulous week. And don't forget, you can also reach me at docmichelle.com.